Good morning. Good morning. Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's such a blessing to be here. It's so good to see you all. I tell you, this is family. Brother Stroud commenced to introducing me to folk yesterday at the fellowship. And I like, boy, I know them folk. He said, you remember Brother Ellison? I said, I can go further back than that. I remember when our kids used to go to Sister Ellison's house, and they always wanted to play with those little doll babies Sister Ellison had up there on display. And they loved going to Sister Ellison's house. Now, I came in yesterday, and I almost didn't recognize one of the brothers. He thought I didn't recognize him because he lost a lot of weight. He know what I'm talking about. You see him back there laughing and grinning. But I didn't recognize him because usually at the domino table, he's the one talking the most trash. Brother Harold Hill, did I say that out loud? Brother Hill was awfully quiet and I didn't recognize who he was. So I say, Brother Hill, what's going on, man? I ain't recognize you. He said, he cut me up pretty bad there, Brother Ellison. I said, the domino table got a way of humbling you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's so good to see him. But still got that same energy and smile. Brother Reed is here. You all remember Paul. I was telling Brother Miles. Me and Brother Reed were talking about his father, Brother Miles. And Brother Reed was remembering the kindness, and he just said, Tim, that stuck out with me, how kind he was. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. This is a wonderful congregation of God's people. Amen. You have a legacy that goes beyond these walls. You got children in North Carolina and grandchildren in North Carolina, South Carolina. And when you say, what, how do I have those children? We are products of what we learned here. I remember when we used to come in, and I don't want to, I want to make sure if I start saying names, you know, at our age, when we start saying names, you're going to forget somebody. But I remember being a 30-year-old man, and we could, from that door, by the time you got up front, you could have gotten wisdom to change your life. Brother Miles, Brother Flowers, Brother Winfrey, Brother Hill, Brother Ward, Brother Cash Brown. Now see, if I start, I'm going to get in trouble. All those brothers. And then you could tell, I talked to Brother Cash Brown last year, and I think me and him talked for about 30 minutes, and it just blessed my life. And what I'm saying to you all is this, keep your head up.
Amen.
Keep your head up. It's a wonderful congregation, and you're doing some wonderful things. Listen, we love y'all and we love what you have done in our lives and our children. I know, and you're praying for us and we're praying. And it's just good to be back and see family.
Amen.
I have my beautiful wife with me.
Amen.
She has put up with me for 32 years,
Amen.
9 months, 10 days, 15 hours, and by that clock, 28 minutes. Yeah, we got it down pat. I'm well trained. And we have our lovely daughter as well. That's Lauren, the oldest. Somebody said, you have any family with you? I said, well, Lauren ain't going nowhere, no time soon. We might end up having her and her husband live with us when she, Brother, I don't know if I'm doing something wrong on the PowerPoint. I'll get that up in a moment. Brother, if you will turn. Oh, it's up. If you'll turn to Jeremiah chapter, Lamentations chapter 3. I want you to read verses 1 through 6. And if there's someone in the audience that I don't see, I think I see the Henleys. I see the Henleys. Those are my daughters. Those are our daughters, our daughter and sister Henley. Yeah, and if there's someone else out there that I don't see, y'all just forgive me and just blame it on these old glasses. It's good to see you all. Lamentations chapter 3.
I am the man.
One through six.
affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places, and as they that be dead of old.
Thank you, brother. Listen, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet for a reason. And if you look at, if you go in and you continue to read in this passage, and you continue to read these scriptures, you're going to see why he's really just in a place, and it's a dark place for him. But I like the way he ends this passage. Brother, if you'll drop down to verses 22 to 24. Verses 22 to 24. And after that, will you get 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8. And we'll set this up and then we'll take off. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. What does the Bible say?
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
See, stop right there. He says, even in the midst of all of these things that I'm going through, he says, it is of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed. These things are not going to overtake me. They're not going to consume me. Read, brother. Why is that? Verse 23.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
He says, the mercies of God, the compassions of God are new every morning. Don't worry about tomorrow, because this morning's mercies have been provided for us this morning. So the mercies of God are new every morning. They'll get us through the trials and tribulations that we're going through if we just trust God. In spite of all the stuff that he's going through, he's saying the new mercies of God will be there for me to get me through what I'm going through. Read the next verse, brother.
The Lord is my portion,
yes,
saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him.
He said, I'm going to hope in the Lord. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. I want you to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. What does the Bible say?
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia.
Yes.
That we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
Paul says, I got to the point where I despaired even of my own life. Now go, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 11. Let's read there.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels,
yes,
that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Yes.
We are troubled on every side.
Troubled on
every
side.
Yet not distressed.
Not distressed.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
We're not in despair.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
We're not forsaken.
Cast down, but not destroyed.
Yes.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
We are delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Some of us have multiple trials. And sometimes we want to give up.
Amen.
We have wayward children. We might have some child that might be in the far country. We have terminally ill loved ones. Some of our marriages are challenged. There's disappointments, loneliness. Sometimes we're mistreated, misunderstood, estranged from our loved ones. We have the worldwide economic situation, wars, persecutions on the job, trouble, it seems like. And what I want us to know is, it's okay to ask the question, Because God has the answer of, Lord, how long?
Amen.
I want you to remember this name because we're going to come back to it in a moment. Roberta Edwards, sister in Christ. She made this statement, and I'll give you the context of the statement when we come back to it. She said, I'm tired. I'm scared. But I can't leave the kids. She said, I'm tired and I'm scared, but I can't leave the kids. Just let that resonate in your mind, because when we come back, we're going to see this amazing sister in Christ. And what the world would say is that her story didn't end well. I would tell you differently, that her story ended very well. But sometimes we do ask the question, how long? And we ask the question sometimes, why? And if you're asking that question, you're in good company. Job asked that question in Job 7:19. He says, how long will you look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? David said it like this in Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Isaiah said it this way, as was read earlier. Then I said to the Lord, how long? Habakkuk says it this way, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to violence and you will not save? You ever just cry till you couldn't cry anymore? You ever have this things happen in your life where they're just so overwhelming and so devastating, and you just ask the Lord, how long, Lord, do I have to go through this? You in good company. You in good company. Somebody said, well, you can't ask that question. Well, guess what? Somebody didn't tell Job that. Somebody didn't tell David that. Somebody didn't tell Isaiah that. Somebody didn't tell Habakkuk that. You can ask the question, how long, Lord? Now, you might not get the answer you want, but you can ask the question. And then we have to ask, and we have to be careful, though, because our how long can end up turning into why. When our how longs become why. Now, Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 1 and 3, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? He's talking to God. Destruction and violence are before me. Their strife and conflicts abound. He's asking the question, if you look at what's happening in his nation, injustice is happening all around, and folks that are supposed to be taking care of those innocent folks are not doing that. They're taking advantage of them. And Habakkuk is saying, Lord, why aren't you just doing something about these evil people that are hurting people? Have you ever asked that question? Now, I have been on a media fast since January 1st. And I haven't known what's been going on. And Brother Stroud, he broke my fast yesterday. I love him. That he wrote my fast. He said, did you hear about the young man who was savagely murdered in Tennessee? I hadn't heard. I didn't hear. Now, I went and read it. I don't know all the particulars, but I do know this. This young man was on his way home. Savagely beaten. Calling for his mother. The people who are supposed to be protecting and defending him are brutalizing him. How long? How long? You can ask the question. God always has an answer. God always has an answer. This is what he tells Habakkuk in Habakkuk 1 and 5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in the day, in your days, that you would not believe, even if I told you. God says, I'm going to basically, if you go and look at Habakkuk and you look at it, he says, I'm going to basically utterly destroy all those folks. But in my time, this is what he says to Isaiah, Isaiah 6:11. Then I said to the Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly destroyed. God says, I'm on my job. I'm going to do what I need to do to bring forth justice. So, church, our faith must be bigger than our how long.
Amen.
And stronger than our why. It's okay to ask how long. It's okay to wonder why. But our faith has to be bigger than that. Habakkuk says this at the end. When God answers his question, Habakkuk says this in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 17. I think it's a beautiful response and of faith. And if you look in Habakkuk, you'll find that he said, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And in church, the only way we're going to get that faith is by studying the word of God. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17, the Bible says this. Though
the
fig tree
shall not blossom.
Read, brother.
Neither shall the fruit in the vines.
Yes.
The labor of the olive shall fall, and the field shall yield no meat.
He said, there's going to be nothing to eat. There's going to be no food. He says, I want you to understand. He says, though this happens, keep reading, brother, verse 18.
The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Church.
The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places.
Yes.
To the chief singer on my string instruments.
Church, when we are going through these trials and tribulations of life that we're all going to go through, Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to go through these things. But what he's saying in essence is, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
And a lot of times what happens is we don't trust God enough. And I'm not saying about any individual. I'm just saying that collectively, we got to trust God. And we got to know that God is in control. That God, they're not in control in Washington or wherever. God is in control. It's hard sometimes when you're looking at that stuff and you seeing what's coming across your television set every day. Let me tell you the answer to that. Turn it off. Turn it off. And then you'll have a better look. Isaiah chapter 40, and this is where Isaiah comes to at the end of his. Isaiah 40 in verse number 29, he says,
he giveth power to the faint.
Yes.
And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall.
Right.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
You know, have you ever seen some people that just go through stuff and they're still smiling? You ever seen some people that just know how to deal with stuff? I can show you three people right now that I know, well, actually four, but I know because I talk to Paul Reed every day, except for the weekends. I don't bother him on the weekend. We talk every day. I talk to Brother Stroud probably weekly, and I've been living with her for 32 years. How many months? 9 months. You got it. Listen, when you're around, and this is something I want to make sure I say to you, put yourself around folk that can help you be better spiritually.
Amen.
Listen, I didn't know how to love until I met this woman 32 years ago, or 34 years we met. We just got married about a year after that. I wanted to get married earlier, but anyway, we'll just leave that alone and move on. I met this brother right here in the dorm. I think we were outside the engineering building at South Carolina State. We've been friends ever since. And then we obeyed the gospel about 2 weeks apart. And this brother right here, Brother Reed, he is not going to let you hate anybody. He's just not going to let you hate anybody. That's just not who he is. His whole family like that. He's not going to let you drag him down and make you hate him. Well, I love being around people like that. And he's not going to let you, and me and Brother Stroud got this thing, keep it high. We don't talk about stuff that's not high talk. And we'll talk about facts, but keep it high. We've been doing that for years. Just keep it high. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Put yourself around folk that can help you get better in your spiritual walk.
Amen.
How to get to how long and why, or how to get from how long and why to yes, Lord. I'm going to read these. Okay. There's three things you're going to have to do. Three things we're going to have to do to get there. Number one, we got to look up. We got to look up. You look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore seeing we're encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got to keep our eyes focused on Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, this is what Paul says. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. We're too earthly minded sometimes, and that's why we're so depressed and angry and sad, because we're not focusing on the wrong thing, on the right thing sometimes. The Bible says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we got to first look up. Number two, we got to look within. We got to look at ourselves. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said he had to look at himself, and he said, hey, here's the way I see myself. And we have to look and examine ourselves. And then the final thing we need to do is, we need to see the need outside of myself. I can say, woe is me. Look at old poor me. And then sometimes you talk to folk. Y'all remember that little character Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh? Y'all don't know who that was? The little donkey.
Okay.
And every time you ask Eeyore a question, how you doing today, Eeyore? Well. Oh, well. I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen. If we, the Bible says, let me say, if we see the need, we can move past our own problem. You know, the best way to help somebody, help yourself, help somebody else.
Okay.
Help somebody else. Look at what the Bible says. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then he says, here am I, send me. He went from how long and why to say, send me, Lord. Who's here to say, send me, Lord, because I'm going to go and do what you would have me to do. Back to our sister in Christ, Roberta Edwards. She built the ministry in Haiti, taking care of abandoned and orphaned children. She built it from the rubble of a failed marriage. She was married to a Haitian doctor who moved her from North Carolina to Haiti. 5 years later, he abandoned her and left her in Haiti. Her parents said, surely you're going to come back home to Wilmington, North Carolina. Sister Edwards said, no, I'm committed to caring for these children. All the children she was caring for were orphaned and or abandoned. There's a difference between being orphaned and abandoned. When you're abandoned, you just left on the side of the road like a discarded piece of garbage. And Sister Edwards says, you're not a discarded piece of garbage. You are a child. You are a child of God. You are a human, and you deserve more than what you're getting. Come live with me. She adopted. Now, she's a single woman who just left, who came out of a bad marriage. Left abandoned in a country that's not her own. She's a single woman. She adopted 20 children. And she fed 120 children 2 days a week, two times a day, 5 days a week. She could ask the question how long and why, but she could still follow and do the mission that God had in place for her. She is a faithful Christian of God doing God's work. You would think that things would just be rosy and bubbly for her. She was the founder of what we call the Sunlight Children's Home. And in October of 2015, she was returning from a trip for gasoline and with three of her children when a vehicle pulled in front of her and forced her to stop. The two teenage passengers, her two teenage children, fled the vehicle after Edwards told them to run for their lives. Edwards was shot multiple times at the wheel of her vehicle, and the gunman grabbed her four-year-old adopted son, JoJo. His name is Jonathan Paul. They called him JoJo. And fled in a vehicle with tinted windows, according to fellow missionaries. She knew that she worked in a dangerous setting, but had committed herself to care for children in Haiti despite these risks. One of the young men says, she took care of us until her last breath. She could have quit when her husband left her. She could have quit when the danger was there. But she says, I'm tired. I'm scared. Children need me. Somebody might say that story ended poorly. I said, no. Revelation 14:13, the Bible says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. See, if I die in the Lord, it doesn't really matter, does it? I know you all remember Brother Como and Brother Barton. I know Quincy and Shemaritan remember, but Quincy and Shemaritan did so much, and they've done so much for so many people. But I remember they used to take care of Brother Barton, and we had the opportunity to do a little bit, go pick Brother Barton up. I remember Brother Barton, I'm going to tell you all this. Brother Barton used to take that long finger, and we used to go pick him up in the morning to bring him to church, and Brother Barton would be standing on the side on his walker, bent over like that if you were almost late. Because late for him was 30 minutes early. And Brother Barton would say, Brother Ellaby, he said, there's three things to destroy a preacher. Women, money, and power. Brother Barton told me that every week. I got that, and he told me this too. He said, always sit with your family. Don't be sitting somewhere else. He said, sit with your family. Now, that's what I learned from Brother Barton. Amen. But that's not the story I want to tell you. I just dropped that while I'm here. Brother Barton said this, and Brother Barton and Brother Como were having a conversation. And they would have a little talk in the back all the time. He used to be right back there in that back there, that back right. And Brother Barton passed. And Brother Como was sitting back there, and I thought I'd go cheer Brother Como up because Brother Como was looking a little sad. And I said, Brother, come on. I know you miss Brother Barton. You all right? He said, man, Barton beat me to my reward. He was upset because Brother Barton died and went to heaven before, went to be with the Lord before him. Boy, I miss those brothers. He understood this verse. He understood this verse. Sister Roberta Edwards gave her final dying breath for her children. And that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But Jesus gave his final dying breath for us. The Bible says that he, in Matthew, Mark chapter 15, verse 37, and as the brother read during communion, he gave up the ghost. He breathed his last. Jesus even asked why. He asked about, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know why he asked that, but he did. But he went to the cross anyway. He suffered all the cruelties of the cross, the beatings, everything that he suffered for us. If you can identify and be compassionate about Sister Edwards, think about what our Lord gave up for us. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. Acts 2:47, the Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. The saved are in the church. Church, I got to tell you this. All of the suffering and all of the stuff that Christ went through is not for naught. You know the beautiful thing you and I have? That as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But in order to have that blessed assurance that Jesus provides, we got to be willing to hear the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose the third day. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. We see that in Romans chapter 6 as well.
Amen.
And we must be willing to believe the same. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is and the reward of those that diligently seek him. And I meant to show this on the screen so you can see it yourselves. And then you must repent of your sins. The Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Be baptized in water for the remission of sin to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and live faithful. In baptism, you see in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Baptism is essential to salvation. It puts you into Christ. It puts you into the church of Christ. Baptism washes away all your sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. That's what baptism does. And then we must live faithful unto death. It's so good to see you all. I hope that I said something to encourage you in your walk with Christ. And we're so glad. You keep us in your prayers. We'll be headed back to the airport after we have lunch. And then we'll be headed back to the airport. It's so good. As I look in the back, I still see some folks that I hadn't seen in a long time. It's good. But if you're here, subject to the Savior's invitation in any way, why don't you come this together? We stand to sing the song of encouragement.
Amen. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the corner, see waiting and watching, watching for you. Tenderly Jesus is calling, calling.